job, chore, hobby, sport, anything that you might endeavor to do in this life, or especially if you would make it your purpose in life, what is there where everything you need to partake in that, do that, is provided for you? And the result is goodness to everyone all around. There's nothing like that, right? You know, you kids have chores, I hope. You have chores you have to do at home, right? Now, in one sense, you owe your life to your mom and dad, but they're not giving you the strength and the ability to do those chores, are they? No. And adults who go to work, boss isn't giving you the strength, the ability, what you need. Sometimes you feel like your bosses are working against you, really. Par for course in this life. But even if it's a hobby or something you like, someone else isn't just handing you what you need to join in that hobby, whether it be bicycle for cycling, a needle and thread for knitting, whatever it might be, you go get it, it's on you, you pay for it. There is nothing like that in this life where everything we need is provided for through us, to us, and it results in good all around. That's why this passage, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, ends this way. It's called doxology. What's just said brings about spontaneously results in glorifying God. It ends this way in verse 13. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. How would you describe the gift? You can't. That's why it's called an inexpressible gift. What is that gift? Well, that gift is, to use my words for this passage, 6 through the end, is that gift of living for blessing. That gift is the Christian's call and provision for living life for blessing. Remember what the word blessing means? It means that's what's beneficial or good. That's the gift. Some of you may be thinking this, and let me just tell you that if you're thinking this, you're right. In other words, it's the Christian life. It's the Christian life. Which actually, as a Christian, means that anything and everything we do, whether it's chores, or going to work, or participating in a sport or a hobby, is all result of this gift, God's grace upon us, which brings everlasting value to anything and everything we do as Christians. Very specifically, the focus here is on service to other Christians. Even more specifically, for the Corinthians, it was the fact that they had committed to giving money for the needy in Jerusalem. Talk about selflessness. Talk about a racial divide. The needy in the Jerusalem church were Jews. The Corinthian church was largely non-Jews. And that is the way not only Jews, but non-Jews saw the world. Today people talk as if we see the world only in black and white. They only saw the world in Jew and non-Jew. And the non-Jews thought the Jews were dogs, and the Jews thought everyone else were dogs. And here's a church all the way over in Corinth, kind of like Las Vegas. And the church there had excitedly and willingly agreed to take part in sending money for the poor in the church in Jerusalem. Now, there's not going to be any Zoom meetings. Church isn't going to Zoom and go, oh, thank you. They're never even going to meet each other. And yet, that service, which gets generalized in this passage, so we're not talking specifically about giving money, that service is of enduring value. And it brings good to all. Not just those in Jerusalem, but other Christians as well. It brings good, that is blessing, to God as He gets thanked and praised. And it brings good blessing upon those who are partaking in that service and that ministry as they know that God is being praised. The church, the Christians they directly served are thanking God and praying for them and longing to be with them. You see how everyone's getting good. Everyone's getting blessing. No, it's not in the form of the Corinthians were going to give X amount of money and then God was going to multiply and then they're going to be that much richer next week. No. Riches don't last. A number of us in this room can testify to you that everything burns, including gold and silver. But what comes out of that service and that ministry is not an exact return on what was given, money for money, this for that, but blessing to everyone involved. What is like that? Apart from life in Christ, nothing. Hence again, the final verse. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. That's our reality if we're Christians. We ought to be living for blessing. We have to understand what that means, what that entails, what that looks like, what it involves. To know the inexpressible gift that is ours. And that's where we're at here in chapter 9. I broke it up because there's so much there in 6 to 15. I'm going to read the whole passage before we dive in, mostly just the last verses, since we covered the first part this past week. Join me in prayer first. Father, Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts not our thoughts. And here we have Your word. Have mercy that we would understand. That we'd understand Your ways and what You are communicating here about Your ways and about You. That we would indeed stand in awe of You. That we would be aware, more aware, of the great privilege, the great gift we have as Christians, no matter where we are or when we are. And that we get to live life for blessing. No matter where we are, no matter when we are, that we can be a part of that which has lasting value, and lasting value before You is right and good and pleasing in Your eyes. Father, transform our thinking to be aligned with Your thinking. Our hearts and our minds and then our lives, that we would indeed live to bless those around us, particularly the household of God, that Your name would be blessed, that You would be glorified, and that we would know the goodness that You lavish right around back on us. Father, grant this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here it is, 9, 2 Corinthians 6. The point is this. I love when they say that. Thank you. What is the point? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully, remember that word is blessing, will also reap blessing. So in other words, you can't get what you don't sow. So, no pun intended, be a blessing farmer. Sow blessing. Verse 7, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're going to serve, we're going to minister, sow blessing, joyfully, willingly, as that which is pleasing to God. Knowing, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And we get to be blessing farmers, joyfully and willfully, willingly, pleasing God, confident that he's the one that's going to provide everything we need to sow, if you will, that blessing. We tend to have a nostalgic or romantic idea about serving Christ and serving others. It's always going to be what we want, when we want, comfortably. And let's face it, we're also thinking they're going to notice and they're going to thank us for it and praise us for it. It don't work that way. But here is the incredible, inexpressible reality. To accomplish whatever that is that we're doing in service to others, God provides everything we need to do it. Which brings about a righteousness that endures forever. So you can be confident that you have what you need, and you can be confident that the result or the product is an enduring one. Who can say that about any other occupation or thing in life? I want a gold medal in the Olympics. That's nice. Who are you? What's your name? When was that? I'm a heart surgeon. I just did a heart transplant. I've done a number of them. Yeah. Some of those people are dead now, but you know, I transplanted their hearts. But nothing is enduring. But when you clean the toilet in this place, when no one's looking, joyfully unto the Lord, to bring good to the next person who walks into that room, but they'll never know you did it, yeah, the toilet will get dirty again. But what you just did brought about that which endures forever, because it pleased the one who is eternal. And we don't escape. It's not left behind. Whatever we accomplish in this life by His grace. Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians. What else is like that? Nothing. But it goes on. Now, for the main part for this morning. 10 through 15. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Well, verse 10 picks up on what's there in verse 9, 8 and 9. The provision comes from God. There's something else added here. Divine multiplication. What's 5 times 5? What's 5 times 10? 50. Yes. That's human multiplication. God's multiplication is 5 times 5 is 5,000. 5 times 10 is 1,000,000. Right? The farming analogy, which is already here, you go out and you go to scatter the seed, and as you throw that handful of seed, God makes it a bucket of seed. There's divine multiplication here. And He's the one that provided the seed that you're throwing out. Not throwing out, but scattering to be planted. Right? He, who supplies the seed to the sower, and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. The farmer out there doesn't know Christ, doesn't realize this, but the seed he's sowing has come from the Lord. And the bread on his table and everyone else's table has come from the Lord. And the Lord says here, in your efforts to serve, to minister, those are the words used all along in this passage. Ministry, service, or even called just grace at one point. Partake in this grace. That all comes from God. But He one-ups that. Your efforts, your good works that He has supplied and equipped you for, are then multiplied. What else is there like that? Nothing. It's the opposite for us. See? You plant 5 tomato plants and one dies. With God's math, you plant 5 tomato plants, seeds from seed, and 20 grow up and produce fruit. There is nothing else like that. And then it brings us to, but what is that? What is that harvest? In verse 10, through His divine math, God increases the harvest of your righteousness. We already saw that word in verse 9, coupled with endures forever. So we can say, He increases the harvest of your everlasting righteousness, your enduring righteousness. What is that? Well, I know at a big church in Texas, what they tell you is, it means more money. You do this giving of this amount, and God will give you more. If you open up your house and provide hospitality, God will give you a bigger house. It's always an exact one-for-one thing. All of that is not eternal. So they're off on that right there. Second of all, it's been generalized, though he is talking about specifically the giving of money for the Corinthians, the words that have been used are more general. Service, ministry, grace. But it gets all the more clear here in 11 through 14. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And we hear the word generous, and right away we think about money. The word doesn't really mean that. And if we couple verse 11 with verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. He's saying the same thing a different way. God's going to give you all that you need for any and every good work that you go forth to do, willingly and joyfully to please God. What else is like that? Nothing. And what happens when that divine multiplication takes place? The end of verse 11, which through us, Paul is saying through us, because they're going to bring the gift, will produce thanksgiving to God. There's the first part of the harvest. The first, the middle, and the last. It brings glory to God. And that's why it's an enduring harvest. Because it brought honor, thanksgiving, to the one who endures forever. Successful heart surgery? Yeah, brings some honor to the heart surgeon, right? But he dies. God doesn't die. He's no beginning or no end. He's eternal. The first connection to this harvest of righteousness is not more money. It's thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. There it is again. But it included along the way, what? Ministry of service to the saints. So they are blessed. Good is brought to them. And since that good brought to them results in thanksgiving to God, who is eternal, and we who are His will be with Him in eternity, there's a harvest that is an everlasting harvest. One that He has multiplied through the very things we needed to even bring about that harvest in the first place. It just keeps going right back to Him. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God. They'll glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. More focus on God being blessed. But others are involved. And now we get back to what this means in the then and there for the Corinthians. Verse 14. While they long for you and pray for you. And yet, not because they're something special and they're so great, because of the surpassing grace of God upon them. So the biblical reality is, if your service or ministry involves giving of money, expect that it will bring praise, glory, thanksgiving to God, blessing the saints, providing for them, who will then also long to have fellowship with you, even if they'll never meet you or see you, and will be praying for you, which you and I need more than money. That's why Paul does not cease to pray for the Ephesians and the Colossians, continually praying for them. We need prayer. He says, and pray for us also. We all need that. And we need it more than money. What we have here is what I call collateral blessing. And only in God's economy, only in God's system of farming does that work. See, the Christian serves, ministers, gives. Any and every good work God provides for them the ability to do and partake in, they go in wholeheartedly, joyfully, willingly, knowing it pleases God. And when they do that, what? The recipients receive good, blessing, that which is beneficial. God, who deserves all glory and thanks, gets it. And they get a fellowship, though it's not right there in person, with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who they never meet in this life, who are then praying for them. It's blessing all around. Goodness, benefit all around. What we can't lose sight of, which is here again and again and in verse 13, is that to embrace that kind of life, to live for blessing, not only understands what you're giving and what you're getting back, and it's not the whole name it and claim it, give $5, get back $10. It does involve that. But also, what's critical is why we would live that way. It's here. It's all over the place in Corinthians and in chapter 9, but it's here again in verse 13. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing in your confession of the gospel of Christ. While there is good and benefit that comes back on us in the here and now and eternally for seeking to serve God's people and minister to them, the motivation to live that way is to come not from what we will get, but what we've already been given. Living for blessing is the Christian's response to the gospel. Jesus' parable. Who's gonna love more, the one who's been forgiven little or the one who's been forgiven much? The answer is much. Who walks out of the doctor's office hooting and hollering with joy? The one who went in and had an ingrown toenail removed? Yeah. Or had that heart surgery that they needed, otherwise they would be dead. To live for blessing is to respond to what has already been unconditionally, undeservedly lavished upon us. It's just right in there, just a couple little words. And yet they're critical. Because motive is critical. That's where the name it and claim it, give 5, get 10 is off. It's all about what will be gotten. What you'll get. And that's here. You will get. That's how it works with God. He's glorified. Benefit, blessing, that which is beneficial all around to His people. There is. But the motivation is not what we will get, but what we've already been given. They will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. Flowing from. My favorite image is the one of a well. And there's a drought. Is that hard to imagine? No. And it's hot and it's dry. There's this well. It never runs dry. And you drop down a cup to get water, and up comes a bucket flowing out. What do? You build a fence around it. Put up razor wire at the top. Security cameras. Make sure no one else can have any! Or, here, come, partake in that which has been lavished upon me that gives life that I don't deserve, can never earn. That's the Christian life. That's how we get to live as Christians. Whether it's service to someone in your own home who doesn't thank you for it, won't notice it, or might even criticize you for it, guess what? If you get it for them, then that's what you get. But if you're serving Christ as you should be as a Christian, as you get to as a Christian, even if you're a slave with a wicked master, you serve not as an eye pleaser, not as a man pleaser, but you serve the Lord in that. Why would I serve him? Because I was dead, separated, without hope, without God in this world. And yet while I was still in that darkness and in that pit, Christ died for me. My bucket overflows. Here's the fresh water. It's been poured on me. I'm sopping wet. Every container is full. I didn't deserve it. I don't earn it. Here, have some. That's living for blessing. That's the Christian life. That's the way Christians get to live. And at the end of the day, what do we say? I worked harder than the rest, yet not I, but the grace of God. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Because God is the one who supplies the seed, multiplies it as you scatter it out, causes the growth, brings about that which is good to everyone. And that's why we end this way, why Paul ended that way, and I hope we're ending this way as we think about this and know that there's nothing else like this in life. No job, no hobby, no chore, no relationship. Nothing else is like this. What a gift. Life in Christ and a purpose for living that can never be diminished or taken away from us, even if we're locked in a pit somewhere in North Korea for believing in Jesus. Can't be taken from us. COVID can't take it. The Democrats can't take it. The Republicans can't take it. No one can take it. What's our response? Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. What do we have that we have not received, 1 Corinthians? Nothing. What do we do with it? The same thing that was done with it to us. We give unconditionally. We want to bless because we've been blessed. That is our privilege. That is our call. Blessing farmers. There's nothing like that. Whatever you're going to go do next, when it breaks down or it doesn't, when they obey or they don't, when it's hot and you're sweaty or you're not, when the neighbor's mean or kind, whatever you're doing, if you're in Christ, that grace is overflowing. Is it just spilling on the ground? Or you're spreading it around? That's our privilege. Join me in prayer. Father, that is our privilege, but our propensity is to think about me, myself, and I. It's mine. And yet, in your ways, what is best for me, myself, and I is freely given and abounds when there is submission to your very grace, to your ways, to your gift. Father, grant that. Grant that, that we would know and walk in the benefit, the blessing, the good that you have for us in the here and now and into eternity. Father, grant it. For your glory. That those around us would give thanks to you and glorify you. Particularly your people. That those who are not yet your people, that they would become your people and know the inexpressible gift that is in Christ. In every season, as we've already sung, Father, indeed great is your faithfulness. We can name it and claim it. Anything we need, anytime, anywhere, to serve, to give and to do what is good and right in your eyes, you have made possible for us. May we go forth in that promise that you, through us, would multiply good all around, that blessing would abound, that we would stand all the more in awe of you and your ways. Giving you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.